League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Is ESPN 97.5 brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's.
KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects as we open up hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza. It's Barry, Nick, and myself, Joel, as we continue to have great spirited dialogue and discussions on lots of topics. Yesterday was great. Got already a good one in today. And you guys can let us know how you feel when you want to jump into the fray. As, by the way, speaking of people that used to crap on the wrong things, people used to get, there was a guy that used to give me a hard time about fray. Granato uses fray every day. Raheel now joins the fray. So, again, it was bad when people had too much
what
time
do you say?
Before.
Do you like hay? I just may down by the bay.
Nick, you mind if I reconnect again? Only this time, I just may not.
Well, that no. Do you know what that was from?
No. What is it? Dr. Seuss?
No. Remember, it was Billy. Not Billy Madison. What was the damn Happy Gilmore? And it was like
Sandler.
He says, "Yeah, it was a Sandler line where Shooter McGavin says something where he rhymes." And then Happy Gilmore goes, "Oh, really? You don't say. Maybe I'll eat some hay down by the bay, okay?" He's like, "Ugh." It's right after he says, "I eat pieces of crap like you for breakfast." And he goes, "You eat pieces of crap for breakfast? Have you not seen Happy Gilmore, Joel?"
I have. I don't remember the lines. You are like my brother-in-law. When you just recite lines after lines. I remember some of
the iconic ones.
Oh, he's an awesome guy. He's a loyal listener to the show, and your dumbass should have realized that he was listening from California to your YouTube channel and loved all of it. So, yes, he's loyal to us. And he is like one of those guys where he recites every line from every movie and goes, "You know that one?" I'm like, "No, I'm sorry. I hate to let you down again. That one's not ringing a bell."
Well, I bet Nick can find the audio. I'll find it. It's too late now, but that was all in the moment. But yeah, that was a moment, and that's the only reason I did it. It was supposed to be a funny callback, golf guy. Never mind. I'm changing the channel to 4:00.
By the way, jeez, last night Barry, I picked up a club funny. And went out in the yard. We have got to do this golf excursion. When the minute we get a chance, the three of us need to get out and hit the little white ball when this coronavirus thing has settled down, because – boy, my shoulder feels good again. I can actually swing a club without any pain or discomfort. I was like, oh my, I need to get out there.
I'm telling you, here's what I want to do. I want to get together. It'll be all our version of the all-in challenge, but we're going to do it. Uh-huh. We're going to give it to charity. Maybe we should do that. We could just do like, I don't know, what's it called? We'll figure it out. But we auction off the fourth spot in a foursome to play golf with us. And then we'll just give it to a charity that we all agree upon,
totally
a thing.
Fine
we're going to
do
that. It's going to be our version of All In. I'm telling you, I'm going to make it happen. Do not worry. I'm going to get with Courtney, and we're going to make this a go. Promise.
Well, that is what you do, because if you want
Nick,
something done
you're
going
right,
right?
to play right.
Courtney.
Play what? I'm messing with this Verlander stuff. What's up?
Yeah, Nick's catching up on the Verlander press conference for
us. I thought that was at 1:30. That's my bad. The foursome of golf. You're going to play, right? If we auction off the fourth spot, you're still in?
Yeah, I'm totally down for that.
Yeah, you can bring alcohol, okay. Nick. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
I'm
bring
down.
Brownies. Huh? Huh? Wink, wink. Okay. I digress. I am. I'm going to email Courtney after the show. We're going to get started on that. That's going to be a thing. I promise you we're going
to Josh Rapp better be winning that because he's been dying to play golf.
If he gets the highest bid, or if we do it like lottery style, where
you think Brady raised money for that stupid jersey from the first game and dinner or workout?
$800,000 is
nothing. Wait till you see what the suspects bring for a day of golf with us.
We're gonna get like $7.
No, eight, so because it's going to be like a percentage of the $800,000 that he brought. We're getting $8. You know, but we made the charity donation.
You and I are going to have to be creating fake accounts on GoFundMe. Yeah, Larry Bamanac just bid $50. What? That seems interesting.
Boom, boom, just bid $10.50. All right.
Wait a minute. We just got a bid from Twitter. It's Pac-Man Joel with a K for $100.
Can I expense that? So
that's great.
Someone just direct messaged me and said that the NBA's revenue sharing system, there's an article out there, is confusing even to executives. Despite their massive media rights deal as a league, teams are still reporting losses. One of the individuals said a Western Conference team has already lost roughly $50 million this season and doesn't have much incentive to restart the season anymore. And they said this has to be the Rockets. Well, one, I don't think it is, simply because they have plenty of incentive to start playing again because they have a chance to win it. They have a team that can be competitive. And also they're going to get revenue back not only for the rest of the regular season, but they'll get revenue back for the playoffs. I've heard Steve Kerr say, I think yesterday, that the Warriors as an organization are operating like they're already in off-season mode, getting ready for next year. Like, they're already basically talking to players like, here's what you should be working out on, as if it's their exit interview for next season. They're basically trying to scale back, save money, not doing any of that. But they're not a factor. So I don't think the Warriors lost 50 mil because they had a new building and they had, you know, lots of new revenue that goes with it. But I can see how teams are starting to feel the pinch of a pretty big loss based on the fact that they're not playing. But let's not forget the fact they played, as you mentioned, Barry, with the pay and everything else. They've made over their money because three-quarters of the season is in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. What team do you suspect that it might be? Somebody like the Kings or the Hawks? Or, I mean,
it's a it's a Western Conference team. So if you just look at Western Conference teams, Sacramento has been better. They also have a new arena. But I don't think it's a bad guess. If I just look at teams, I would say, Minnesota.
Okay.
I mean, because Minnesota has underachieved. They redid the Target Center, but it's not a great building. I don't know. There hasn't been a whole lot of excitement even after the trade. They made to get the point guard that was with the Warriors to play. Why can't I think of his name right now? He used to be with the Lakers. Exactly. It's not that big of a deal. I could see that because other than that, Warriors, you know, tickets are sold because they're going to be good again. Clippers and Lakers, no-brainers. Suns, maybe, but Suns normally have a good loyal following. And they're on the Spurs, uptick. I think you're right. I think it's either the Kings or the Timberwolves in my mind.
Okay.
Or maybe Memphis, but you know what? With Ja and the way that they were playing, I don't know.
Yeah, there was D'Angelo momentum.
Russell,
that's what sucks.
Is the guy I was thinking of, D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, a team like Memphis, a team like even New Orleans, who was a few games back of that eighth seed, but they got Zion
bro. Zion was selling it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that even though they weren't in playoff contention, so to speak, Memphis and New Orleans with the young talent that they had probably had people excited. So, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be a team that was in the upper echelon of the Western Conference. It would have to be my guess if it wasn't Sacramento was going to be Phoenix, I don't think your guess of the Timberwolves being wrong either.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think that Gerson Rosas, a friend that I worked with that is now the president of the Timberwolves, I mean, I hope he got taken care of with a big contract and lots of years, because that is going to take years to try and get them back on the right path, because you know, they've made a lot of bad moves. A lot of people are, including Kevin Garnett, has been outspoken about how bad the ownership is with Glenn Taylor. And if you can crap on arguably, I don't think it's even arguably, if you crap on the best player in the history of the Timberwolves franchise, and he is outwardly cussing you out in the media, it's not a good look. So
nope.
I think the Timberwolves could be at the top of the list. I think you're right. I think, you know, obviously Devin Booker and the Phoenix has some players now, but nothing to write home about, like a super, superstar or anything. New Orleans, I would just say with Zion, their ticket sales had to go through the roof the minute that they got him and their marketing stuff. So I would be a little less – in years past, I'd say hands down, the Pelicans would be right there with the Kings.
By the way, did you see – because somebody asked on the text line, it kind of a random offshoot of what we're talking about, but how on earth did the Los Angeles Lakers get a small business loan?
Well, thankfully they returned it, you know?
Did they?
Okay. Yeah, they did end up returning it. Because, again, you know, a lot of these – I don't know how these companies think that this is not going to become public. Just like when we said Ruth Chris, who has, like, profits of, like, 40 mil or whatever it is, and then they got one, and then they returned it. I just think that it's ludicrous to think that you're in the NBA as a franchise and you request – you have to request it. They don't just come out and seek you out. We know that you have to do the paperwork and file. Yeah. That's just absolutely silly if the Lakers thought they were going to slide by with that one and no one was going to notice. Because, yeah, why would you need it? I mean, their ticket prices alone, it's even when they sucked, Lakers floor seats, because it's all about being seen, and that's such a prestigious thing to see the people sitting courtside at Laker games. The prices are like in the $5,000 neighborhood on resale market just to get a close to floor seat for a Laker game.
It's crazy, man. But how they got approved.
Yeah.
I guess people don't look at the worth of the business. They just, because I was looking on this website and it says the rules for qualification for the PPP, any small business concern that meets SBA size standards. So any business, 501c nonprofit, veterans organization, tribal business concerns of the Small Business Act with 500 employees. Or that meets the SBA industry size standard of more than 500. So I guess there were certain criteria that they were like, well, we qualify here, here, and here. We check all the boxes. Hell, let's go get a check. So
I think, yeah.
Kind of crazy.
I think it's a savvy business move because you know that a lot of them, the rumor was as long as you continue to keep your employees employed and pay them and do all these things, that the government has said you may not even have to pay it back. Those are the kind of things where, as a savvy business, if you're just like, you know, mom and pop shop or a, you know, under the radar type establishment business, you could do that. If you're the Los Angeles Lakers, come on, bro, you ain't getting away with that. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, seems kind of silly.
Because you think about it, all the ones that return the money, it's the only reason why they return it is because they got caught. It got caught. The media got wind of it. And like I said, with Ruth Chris, you don't think that they'd have been all over that, except for the fact that people went, well, you had a huge year profiting even last year, and you want a $40 million small business loan. No, that's probably not going to fly.
No. Nope.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know how the Lakers got that. They didn't deserve that, but we'll see. Hopefully now that all that money is being returned, that it can get into the right hands of the right people that can do good things with it for businesses that we like. So, as we continue to roll on, Nick is on it. He is listening to the Justin Verlander press conference, and we'll have some sound from JV in terms of how he feels physically, where he is on his groin surgery recovery, and what he thinks about the season going forward, as well as lots of other things. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. You can always hit us on Twitter. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Everyone's a winner. We're making our fame. Bonafide
hustler. Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And the groin is feeling really good. Some good days, some bad, but in general, everything's been moving in the right direction. It's starting really this last couple weeks. It's started to feel very strong, particularly in throwing. That was probably the toughest thing on the groin, which I think points to why I needed this surgery in the first place, because throwing was putting a big strain on it. I would say particularly this week, I've made a big stride forward and very optimistic about how it's feeling and looking.
So before we get the pertinent information on Barry's groin, he's having his press conference next week. That was Justin Verlander talking about where he is and how he's progressing with his groin. As obviously, if we are going to have a baseball season that is going to be pertinent for Astros fans, he has to be front and center. He's got to be healthy. He's got to do what he needs to do for this team. So no one could benefit more from this break than one Justin Verlander.
And the Astros, yeah, you're right. He would have missed a couple of starts at least. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a few questions surrounding this team and starting pitching, and, you know, you lost some guys. You didn't want to have to fade that as well. So that they did get lucky in that regard, that the season didn't have to be played without him. Now, of course, if they don't play at all, it's all for naught. But it's good to hear that maybe, you know, this was a blessing in disguise for the franchise and for him.
Well, and as you said, Barry, I think the other point that has to be considered into all of this, not that anybody benefits from what's happened with this coronavirus stuff, is, but from a standpoint of just the national media, the overall perception of the Astros franchise, the amount of fans that were going to come out and boo and crap all over them. Not that they're going to not still be there if they do play the season, but because of this big lapse in games, people's desire to see baseball again, I think they benefit greatly from the fact that it's probably not going to be nearly what it could have been and probably would have been had they started on time and never had this pause.
Yeah, you're right. It's looking more and more like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you saw that they were lined up in spring training with signs and, you know, mm-hmm. and plenty of comments and just trying to get all under, you know, under their skin, and at every spare moment trying to come at them. I think you're going to see a different approach, and I think that's going to be a lot more tame if the season does get underway.
It'll still be there, right? Like, it'll still be there. Right. Maybe not as over the. It'll still be prevalent, I think, for a while, because fans still want to get it out of their system. And there's still going to be a few snarky dudes, but I think you're right. The more that this goes, the more I think I'm believing what you're saying, in that this is benefiting the Astros.
Just, I think, from a player perspective, too. Fans. I think player to player, I think there was a lot of venom and animosity. If we had started on time, with a lot of players that had the red ass about the fact that they cheated us, they cheated the game. You know, you had pitchers filing lawsuits and everybody just, you know, lashing out at the Astros. And I think from a player's perspective, they're probably going to be a little bit less on the aggressive side of things coming back, simply because of the fact that they realized with time to think how much they just love the game, love the sport, and want to get back to playing. I think it'll help them. I'm not saying, like you said, it's not going away. But I think it'll be a tamer version of what could have been pretty intense for a pretty long period of time had we not had this break. Mm-hmm. So Verlander had lots of quotes. He was talking to the media. Nick was thankfully monitoring everything and stacking and racking some of them. One of the really almost scary things about if we didn't have this break, and what we were talking about with Verlander, is the severity of this groin injury. Because you remember when they were first talking about it, he was going to miss a start or two in spring training, but they didn't know how bad it was going to be. Well, when he told the media today, it did not paint a pretty picture if he did not have surgery.
So I'll start with post-op. After the surgery, the doctor said he's very happy that I had it done, because it looked like it was about to really tear fully. It had been pretty beaten up, that adductor longus muscle. So I think this is something not unlike like a sports hernia or, you know, the other surgery I had done, where it's more of an overtime thing. There's not one moment that you feel it and you tear it. It's just kind of a cumulative wear and tear.
Barry, I don't know if you've seen a doctor recently or not, but if your abductor longus muscle has been pretty much torn up, you might want to see a physician.
Listen, I don't come from good stock, so I don't have an abductor longus. I got an abductor shortus.
I mean, if you're a pitcher, I don't know about your strikes, but I've got a pretty good feeling your balls are in trouble if your abductor longus has been beaten like that.
I am just saying, man. You right now for that.
I'm just saying. But,
oh, boy.
Well, it's good. At least we got to talk some baseball.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I did notice you had this this link, which made me go back and revisit SpotTrack about who's going to be free agents in 2021 with five Astros. Players,
yeah,
five significant Astros becoming free agents. And I remember us having this discussion because I think when I was doing my baseball preview last year, I was bringing up salaries, and I think I had mentioned that, hey, some of these cats are going to be gone. But I don't know that I recall the list being like this. But if I gave you the you can only keep two,
okay,
out of these five names, which ones are you keeping? George Springer, Michael Brantley, Josh Reddick, Yuli Gurriel, and Brad Peacock.
Well, Springer is number one, and Brantley probably is number two.
Yeah.
I'd love to keep Yuli, but I don't think he's as nearly as important as – you know, Michael Brantley. Michael Brantley's not going to be a big pop guy, but boy, when he hits over 300, he was in the, you know, for three quarters of the year or more, he was in the top five in hitting in the American League. And he, you know, he gets you a lot of doubles, hits for average, great locker room guy. I just think you keep Brantley and Springer, you can replace those other guys. Because Peacock, the luster's worn off. He isn't nearly what he once was for that short period of time. Obviously, Reddick, you know, has come in handy over the years, but his numbers declined. His salary went up. So, you know, overall, I think I'd take those two.
Well, let me tell you a couple things here. So, you know, obviously Reddick's gone because Kyle Tucker's going to take his place and at a much cheaper price. You're going to go from $13 million to basically $500K, maybe $600K. So that's a no-brainer.
Right.
Peacock is a guy that's a little more intriguing and interesting because he gives you some options out of the bullpen. It gives you the ability to spot start, long relief. You know, if you decide that as this team goes and you start looking at maybe using an opener instead of a starter, Brad is one of those guys that could benefit your bullpen from that. And plus, it's not a lot for a Brad Peacock, right? If you get
Well, that's the bigger thing, right? Money, it's all about the money. If you're talking about max Peacock money, then no. But if you can get him at a pretty decent rate, of course you want to bring him back.
Yeah. And then the other thing with – and then also you have to fast forward a little bit because in 2022 you got to think about who you might be losing. Greinke, Verlander, Joe Smith, Osuna, McCullers, and Devinsky are all free agents in 2022. So that's a pretty big chunk too. So you got to take that into account if you're going to let a guy like Brad walk. I'm with you. I probably – if I had to pick my two, it's not going to – he's not going to be included in that list of five. But let me make the case for Yuli because who's going to play first base for this team if you don't have Yuli?
Well, I think with the I know I can tell you who they'd like to have play first base, but he's not ready yet.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would be that would be Yordan.
Yeah, and that to me is a problem because I don't think Yordan is a natural first baseman. I don't think he's going to turn out to necessarily be a good first baseman. He's not going to be, you know, Pujols-esque even in that regard. I think he's a designated hitter. You know, that's what he is in Major League Baseball. And so to force him to play first, maybe he can, and I'm wrong. But you think about it, you've got a guy over there at first base that can pick it. You've got a guy over there that can field his position really well. He's got an arm, so throws to the plate are, you know, he can make on the infield. He can turn two when balls are hit to him. He's a third baseman that played the other corner, but he knows how to play the infield. He knows how to throw it around. He knows where to go on the infield. So I just that there's something to be said for that. And if you can get him for under $10 million, he's at 8.7 now. I know he's 37 years old, But I might be looking at, listen, I might throw Brantley in right and have Yordan in left because half of his games are playing an easy left field at Minute Maid, and then keeping Yuli at first. And unfortunately, that sucks, but you also, guess what? That's 16 to 18 mil that you were going to pay Michael Brantley that you can free up to go and get some value for
you
that.
You just said Brantley and Wright, though. You mean Tucker and Wright.
No, I meant Tucker and Wright. My bad. Yeah, okay. I meant all Tucker right. and Wright. Yuli,
because that's
or
what it
Yordan
comes down to.
If
Brantley's
left.
Still looking to get top dollar, you're going to lose it. Right?
Right.
I mean,
and I would rather take that $16 million and add a third starter with that money, have Yordan in left, Tucker in right, and Yuli at first, and I think you can fade that. So my two would be Springer and Yuli, just because okay. for that reason I'm going to fill out the roster a different way.
Well, hopefully they don't have to worry about that, and they get more than two of those guys re-signed, but we'll see mm-hmm. how it goes. We need baseball first, and we hopefully get it quicker than usual, because we need it back on the field, so we got something to watch. We'll continue to roll on as we get to the midway point of the show. Second half comes up next. Don't go anywhere. It is the Usual Suspects on a Thursday in Houston, ESPN 97.5. Well, I'm on B. I like my sugar with coffee and green.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What I think happened, and there's no definitive answer to this, but my lat ended up tearing or straining because I was changing my mechanics because of my groin. So it had reached a point where I was just manipulating my body to pitch, and that's never a good thing. And that's why the lat strain happened in my belief and many others that I've talked to.
There's more from Justin Verlander on a conference call today as he got the media up to speed with what happened, where he's at now, and everything to do about his groin operation, as hopefully when operations get picked back up in Major League Baseball, he's ready to take the mound on opening day for your Houston Astros, especially if they're looking at July now as the potential start time for Major League Baseball, depending on whatever solution they come up with and whatever hub city or otherwise that they get on the books. But good to seem like he's on the mend, that he's in good spirits, he's working out. So that's all you can ask for. And hopefully, they get back to baseball pretty quickly.
I'm just LMAO that the Dodgers are like geeked that if we go to this three division league where the Astros and Dodgers are in the same division, that they look forward to facing them. I'm gonna say, like I said yesterday, be careful what you wish for, man.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing: I realize that's a good Dodgers team, and I've always slept on the Dodgers at least the last couple, 3, 4, 5 years. I just was never a believer in their talent. Guys like Justin Turner didn't do it for me. Cody Bellinger, I didn't believe in him, especially after the World Series against the Astros, where I don't care if you want to – he can be mad that they cheated all they want. His plate's appearances had nothing to do with the Astros cheating, and he was awful in that World Series. I mean, absolutely dreadful. So their cheating had nothing to do with him. But I would just caution them, man, you're poking a bear that is hungry – to prove itself and distance itself from a team that cheats. And the only way you're going to do that is to go out and win, knowing you're under the scrutiny of baseball. So if there was ever going to be a time to shut people up, it's going to be the next season. And if that happens to be in a weird division that you end up being with the Dodgers, they better be ready, because the Astros have a – which is crazy to say that this team has a ton to prove, but that's absolutely the case.
You're spot on. And the thing that you think about, too, is regardless if you're playing a regular Major League Baseball season or an abbreviated Major League Baseball season, a lot of times players lose interest. And they know day to day there's not a whole lot of motivation, especially when you're in the dog days of the middle of the season. But if you get into a situation where you know a team is out there bumping their gums and talking about how bad they want you and they're going to come at you, nothing's going to motivate a locker room more, and they're going to be up for it. And it's going to be playoff-level baseball by the way they focus and the way they go at you. And it's not like you're playing the San Diego Padres or the Diamondbacks or some of these other teams that might be grouped into that group play with them. When you play the Dodgers and you know that they've been trying to crap on you and talk about how much they want you, well, like you said, then bring it, bitch, because we're going to come back at you. Mm-hmm. And this ain't no minor league team or this, you know, this small market trying to just, you know, make salary type, you know, and make ourselves remotely profitable baseball team. They're coming at you hard, man, and they need sometimes motivation like that. I would welcome it as well. I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
And yeah. Baseball would love it. I mean, you don't think the fans and the viewership, every time those two teams squared off, it'd be like Yankees and Red Sox on the East Coast every single time you got Astros-Dodgers. It would be fantastic.
Yeah, it would.
Speaking of that, by the way, though, because now, you know, we've talked about the fact that the Astros have had like a squeaky clean image over the years, and now since the cheating scandal and obviously being punished for it, everybody just thinks the exact opposite, and they're cheaters and they're terrible and they do everything, you know, mean-spirited and wrong. Well, this isn't a very good look. The other day we had talked about on this show about different things people were doing to raise money for everybody dealing with the coronavirus and obviously a lack of food when they're furloughed or out of work for the time being. And we had mentioned that Astro scout David Brito was listing with Golden Auctions his authentic 2017 World Series ring. They thought it would bring upwards of $60,000, and he was donating 100% of the profits to charity.
Wow.
To benefit people that might have needs based on going through the coronavirus outbreak and, like I said, and all the different aspects of it. The Astros have blocked that.
What?
Yep. The Astros put into contracts that they have the option to purchase the ring back for $1 if anybody tries to sell it. And they have made it known that if that ring was going to continue to head to auction and be put up for sale, they would execute that $1 contract. And so, therefore, the ring is now no longer available.
Wow, what a chicken bleep move. What did the Astros give a motivation or a reason why?
Well, you know, it's like I know that for the Oscars, the Academy Awards, that I know for a lot of the major awards, because this very thing has happened in the past where performers, whether they fall on hard times or they just don't have a sentimental value for trophies and such, when artists have tried and winners have tried to sell it in the past, there is a clause in those award ceremony awards that says, like, especially for the Academy Awards, the Academy can buy back the award for $1 if they find out that it is available and up for sale. And you have to give it up to them. You can't sell it. Just because, you know, it's like when guys have tried to sell their Heismans in the past or other things. I mean, it's obviously a very limited, tough to get piece of memorabilia, but also that's what the Academy of Motion Picture Sciences is trying to prevent. They don't want these trophies out there for just anyone to have. They want it to be something where whoever wins it has it and they cherish it. So, I mean, I don't know.
Okay, I get that. But if you're in the middle of a pandemic and money is an issue for everybody and you're trying to raise funds to feed people in the middle of a pandemic or whatever it is that you're going to do with the funds, surely there can be an exception made. Surely there can be an amendment added or an addendum added to the contract that says, hey, we're going to waive this right because we agree that this is a great cause and a noble thing that this person is doing. How is that? That's just common sense.
Well, and think about this, Barry. Just think about it purely from a marketability, a likability, a PR move, right? If you're Jim Crane and you see this,
yep.
You have your PR people get involved, go, you know what, Scout, you keep your ring. Here's what we're going to do. We have an extra ring from the World Series champions. We're going to donate it free of charge. And whatever you bring on behalf of the Houston Astros, we would like to donate that money and match it. Then, boom, now you're an even bigger hero. But instead,
now you look like jerks.
Yeah, you look pretty pathetic for doing something like this. Because you know what? There's going to be plenty. We know that a lot of the scouts got crapped on and let go after everything that has happened. And the ones that either did or didn't were also the ones behind a lot of the offering up of emails from Luno and everybody else about, you know, trying to steal signs in the minor leagues and, you know, how you document that and all those other things. So there's a lot of scouts that have either bad blood or an axe to grind that go, you know what, I got no use for a ring from an organization that crapped on me.
So is that guy not with them anymore?
I'd have to look it up.
We should try to get him on the show and ask what's going on. Because I would love to hear what his motives were and what the Astros' motives were. And because before I pass judgment on the Astros, there might be a sound reason, although I can't think of any reason why you would prevent somebody from donating money to charity. Just out of the kindness of their heart. Now, unless he planned on keeping half of it, or, you know, then I could, okay, I get blocking the sale. If he's like, hey, I'm going to raise 10 grand. I'm going to keep five. I'm going to give five away. No, that's not how that works. We'll give five away. You're not selling that ring. We'll buy it back for a dollar. I just want to know what the real reason is, or, you know, because I think that goes a long way in determining how you judge this team. Because on the surface, this makes me start to hate the Astros even more now. It's like, really? Why? I mean, of all the issues that you've had, you guys are cheaters, the way you've treated people, the clubhouse thing with the reporters. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
the assistant thing, GM, yeah.
The assistant GM, like all of that. And we're over here. A lot of us are still defending you as an organization, even though the reality of it is it's been a pretty trash organization since they started cheating.
Yeah.
When you take into account all of those things, but they're still the good guys, and we still love them in Houston. What's going on over there, man? Come on, like
now,
at some
David
point,
Brito
you guys are making good decisions.
David Brito, whether he's with the organization or not, he discovered Framber Valdez and said that they had to come see him, and that he was the guy that basically stressed they have to get this guy and hang on to him and make him a part of the organization.
Well, now I don't like the guy, so I was kidding.
But I'm looking. I'm not finding whether he's still with the team or not, but my guess would be no, based on all the scouts that they've let go and fired and had issue with. But I can continue to try and look that up somewhere. But as far as just doing a quick Google search on him, I can't find anything that says that he's with another team.
Well, I just want to know. I don't want to continue to support an organization and defend an organization who, for all accounts, has done some indefensible stuff. And I'm not defending the cheating. We've all said on this show, they're cheaters. But, you know, we had the lawyer on from Toronto, and we talked about Osuna, and we tried to, you know, be as fair as possible, even though we both said immediately that it was a huge mistake and a PR nightmare. But then you're like, well, maybe they did their due diligence. Maybe they know something we don't know. And really, he never got convicted of anything. So we talked. But at the end of the day, you step back. If this was the Yankees, we'd be crucifying this team
for
the stuff that they did.
No, you're
so
right.
So it just really disheartens me to see stuff like that, man. Come on, Astros, do the right thing. Do the right thing.
And essentially, this is no skin off of your back. You shouldn't even care
about
this.
I love your idea. You know what? Tell the dude keep it. You've got a ring. Donate it. Match it. You're the good guys. Start rebuilding your perception.
Trust, credibility, all of that. Yeah.
Yes.
Reputation, everything.
Joel, they need to hire you because that is a genius idea. They should do, but of course they're not going to do it. They're acting like the Astros are. They're stubborn. They're digging their heels in. And
unfortunately, the media's perception, the fans' perception of arrogance, comes out like a glaring weakness
like
when
it, right?
They act like this. Yeah,
you look at Jim Crane and you're like, wow. So now we got a guy who is skirting responsibility. Nope. I didn't know about it. Those guys are cheaters. Well, it's your organization, and it starts and ends with you. So you're a cheater too, Jim. Don't care what you want to say. You're a cheater. And you know, now you can say, well, I wasn't aware of that. Guess what? It's your organization. So buying back a ring for a dollar so that the money, 100% of the proceeds can't go to charity, that's on you, Jim Crane. That's on you, and it's a bad look.
No doubt.
A couple texts before we get to break. I got to give a shout out to my dude Seraphin. He listens to us every day up at the Brookside in Spring, which I told you is like my it's like my Willy Wonka. I go in there. In fact, I need to go see Seraphin get a new seat for my John Deere. But
it's
he's
lawn
pumping
hub.
Y'all in the store. Yes, it is. But he's bumping us in the store. So we appreciate Seraphin and the good folks at Brookside. Somebody had texted. We were talking about the different things. Somebody said, I'm a rideshare driver from Uber and Lyft. Y'all make the time go by faster, and I get more than just sports. Sounds like a win-win for me. And then somebody asked, Barry, did you see that the UFC All-In Challenge included a date with Holly Berry? Yeah, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. I've already told Nora I'm selling her car. So
she dropped an F-bomb, too, and MF-er with Dana White when they were talking about all things nice. UFC the other night. Yeah, I think on ESPN.
Don't say that. She was talking dirty. Oh, boy. Yeah. Now you're turning me on, Joel. Holly Berry, she's talking dirty.
Wow. You know the problem here, fellas, is a lot of times you're getting turned on, but you're not getting the results you once had when you were a little younger. Well, the people at Apollo Men's Health are here to help because they got you covered. They're still open during the coronavirus, and they've got therapy that can get you to get a more convenient way to get your testosterone without having to go into the clinic as much because they're trying to make sure that they have great outcomes and take care of their great customers. Simply put, you can get traditional testosterone therapy. Like I mentioned, they're still open. They're conveniently located near downtown. And you can get in, get out, and get what you need as they take care of you as often as you need to. However, because of what's going on with the pandemic, you may not want to go in as frequently. You may want to make sure that you stay at home. Well, then you can investigate the cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. You still get the same overall results and all that extra energy and the positives. You just don't have to go in for as many office visits in the process, so you need to check that out as well. Overall, it's all about you. From body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy, everything to increase your overall quality of life. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. And I'm telling you, O is the medical professional in charge of everything. It's his practice, and he takes care of you. David is office manager. Make sure that you are comfortable and you have everything that you need. Everybody goes out of their way to make you feel like a family member or a friend. Call them right now. Check them out. Don't believe me. Make the judgment for yourself. 832-664-9966. Or better yet, go to their website, apollomh.com. You can book your first appointment online, and most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders as well. They are going to take care of you, Houstonians. Guys, get into Apollo Men's Health today.
ESPN 97.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I wasn't committed to having surgery. I thought it was something I could maybe work through. But after doing my rehab for my groin, during my rehab for my groin, it popped, and it was a weird feeling. It wasn't painful, but it was definitely a discernible pop in that high groin area. So that concerned me enough, and the training staff enough that I should get another opinion on it. Went up to see Dr. Myers in Philly, and sure enough, when he looked at it, both with his physical exam and with the MRI, it looked like my attachment of that groin had gotten worse, and I had started to pull it off the bone even more. So that moment was the first time I realized that I probably wouldn't be able to make it through a season without it completely tearing. And that I should just go ahead and get it done.
Here's the last quote that we have from Justin Verlander, where he was very forthcoming with a lot of information about what he was dealing with, the severity of the injury, and the fact that he probably made the right move. And as we mentioned, with everything that has happened with the season being delayed, it couldn't have worked out better, not only for the Astros, but for him specifically, based on all he was dealing with. So good job by Nick getting all that stuff and getting it out to you guys as quickly as we could.
Yeah,
but crazy what could have been if we didn't have this delay in the season starting, because probably to this point in the season, he may not have pitched a game yet.
Right. Absolutely. Right.
Very devastating news, by the way. I just want to get this out before we switch gears from baseball. One postponement that has become a cancellation that's going to disappoint a lot of people. There will be no Little League World Series for the first time since the organization called Little League began. It has now been officially canceled as of today. that sucks if you're a little, you know, especially if you're like in the last year of Little League and you know you got a good team. I feel bad for the kids, man. That sucks.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
So that was just announced, just throwing it out there to the peeps.
That's my heart is broken, but I will go on.
You don't care about kids.
I'll survive.
It's just, you know, you hate kids and animals not named cats.
You know, it could be worse. You could be this chick that was out celebrating the end of the lockdown of coronavirus and then fall to your death off of a cliff trying to take a selfie in celebration. You could be her.
What?
Olesia Suspicenia. Okay, I don't feel like I said that right at all.
I don't either.
Rest in peace to Olesia Suspicenia. 31-year-old Kazakhstani woman died after a 100-foot fall off a cliff. The lockdown was over. She was allowed to go out. They were allowed to go out. And so she went to the edge of this cliff to take a selfie in Turkey. It was the Duden Park cliff in Turkey. And she wanted the waterfalls in the background, slipped on a patch of grass as her friends were preparing to snap the photo, and plummeted to her death.
Jeez.
Pretty awful. Like, obviously, you know the dangers of going up on a cliff like that, but damn, I'm not wishing death on anybody in that regard. It's just, the irony of it is pretty tragic, too, where you're like, hey, we made it through coronavirus, didn't get sick, didn't die, I'm celebrating, I'm finally out of the house, you fall off a cliff. That's pretty sucky way to go. I'd almost be like, man, that's just okay. So pro tip, don't go. Well, see, I almost made a terrible joke.
You're
going to
do it at some point. Not funny, Barry. So all of your jokes are terrible. Read the text line.
I almost made a really awful joke, and I don't want to do that because I want to respect Olesia Spitzina. But that sucks, man. Could you imagine? There's the thing. This is what my first thought was. Oh, wow. That's pretty awful that she died taking a selfie on a cliff. What if you're the friend? What would be your first thought? All right. So me, you, and Nick. Or you and Nick. Or me and Nick. Well, the two of us go to a cliff because the other was like, hey, I want to go take a selfie on this cliff with some waterfalls in the background and put it on Instagram because the lockdown's over and I'm excited. And Nick is like, okay, I'll go with you, Barry. So we go out, and I'm like, all right, cool. Let me get in. And then I fall off the cliff and die. What's the first thought that goes through your mind, Nick?
Family, probably.
Really?
Come on, Nick. Your first thought is, suspects, here I come.
Your first thought will be about my family?
Oh, you mean like taking over your job? I see what you're saying.
No. I'm curious what your first thought would be. That would be my first thought. They're going to think I pushed her ass.
Yeah, they're going to pin it on you. If you're the only one standing there and you're spotless, you're clean, you're standing on the edge of the cliff going, wait, what just happened? And Barry's dead.
She slipped.
They're coming at you, bro. I've watched Dateline. I know. They're coming at you.
now you're on the hook for a murder. I was like, that was the very first thought I had, Joel. Thank you. Because I was like, oh, hell no. I'm on a cliff. It's just me and Joel. He slips and falls to his death. I'm going to be like, they think I pushed Joel off the cliff.
Oh,
that's exactly what
100%.
They saw the damn Joel. YouTube. They think that I made that crap up. That's what's going to happen on.
Well, and I'm sure, I mean, we don't know what the other chick was to her friends or whatever, or what their relationship was like, but I'm not lying. My first thought was, damn. My first thought if that happened was, they're going to try to pin this on me and say that I did it.
That's when
Nick over here, family. God, so you suck for having a heart, Nick. Get out of here.
No, I really, honestly, I wasn't following. I would have been worried too. I was just.
Jeez.
That's when Lester Holt comes back from break and goes, after Barry's fall and his death, we caught up with the local enforcement agencies to check and see what the first thought process was. And that's when TJ McGillicuddy of the north side of Houston Sheriff's Department says, well, in cases like this, we look for a disgruntled employee-employee relationship if they're not already engaged in a poor marriage. So therefore, the fact that one of the people engaged in the work activities was also on the cliff with Barry, he became prime suspect number one.
What would be really crazy is if John Quinones emerges from a bush and was like,
"Yes,
hey, I mean, no, she's really dead, but what would you do?" And you're like, "What? You just killed someone for a segment?"
And the other guy, I don't know what his name is, the guy that...
You're like, wait, John Quinones, you're out of ideas, so now, well, you know.
Who's the other guy that looks like Fire Marshal Bill with a better gray haircut that works with John Quinones, but he should be narrating children's books, and he comes out and goes, well, and that's when the story got twisted as old Nick was on the hook.
No idea who you're talking about.
He does what John Quinones does for Dateline. He's got like gray spiky hair and his face looks like Fire Marshal Bill. All right, thanks. Good deal. All right, that's a great way to wrap up hour number two of this show. A lot of camaraderie there. I'm pushing you off a cliff. There's no doubt about it. All right.
What do you want me to do?
One to go. The final bubble from the cliff. On the Thursday on The Usual Suspects comes up next. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.